This morning I want to talk to you about the battle of the ages. I looked for an appropriate text, and the best I could come up with, because it is the best, is John 3:16. That God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the singing that we heard, a tremendous man of God. We're grateful, Lord. Thank You this morning for Your word, what it means to us, what it accomplishes, and what it's going to accomplish. And as we open the word of God this morning, may our hearts be challenged to obey the word found in that Bible and be the kind of Christians that our God would be proud of. Speak to our hearts this morning through the Holy Spirit and the word of God, and we'll be sure and give You the praise, the glory in everything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The text for this message is an exhortation to Christian fortitude and a warning against the enemies of the child of God. We are asked to consider the danger to which we are exposed and put on the whole armor of God that has been provided for us. However, armor is of no value unless it's used. And the inducement here is that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now understand, whenever trouble exists and a battle begins, there will always be a showdown. For 6,000 years, the earth has been a scene of strife between God and Satan. In fact, so real has this struggle been that many have concluded that God is not able to cope with his archenemy, the devil. But how wrong they are. God's battle plans have never been changed, never altered, and they're right on schedule. Yet all of us know that any battle must eventually have a climax. And that climax, I believe, beloved, is nearing an end. I say that because for 6,000 years now, both God and Satan has bid for the loyalty of the human heart, with no quarters asked and none given. And if you're acquainted with the Word of God, you know that the final outcome spells victory for Jesus Christ and those who put their trust in Him. And the outcome of that long battle will come to a climax in the Battle of Armageddon. Now listen carefully to what is going to happen in the future. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, after which he will be loosed for a season. But then afterwards, he will be cast into a bottomless pit to never again do battle against God. But regardless of the winner of any war, regardless of who is in the conflict or who is declared the final winner is what happens on the battlefield during the fighting that brings sorrow and heartache and tears and, yes, even death. I recall the last World War being a part of it myself. Even though the Allies were the final victors, yet they paid a heavy price in lives and chaos on the battlefield as well as at the home. Everyone suffered. And the war going on now between God and Satan is no different. Even though we know what the outcome will be. Yes, you must admit, this life we live today is full of heartaches and suffering. All because human loyalty has turned from God to Satan. So don't blame God for the conditions that exist today. Blame the right persons. Blame the human race. Keep in mind that God made Adam and Eve perfect in every way. He gave them their every need and even walked and talked with them daily while in the garden. But man would not be satisfied. His loyalty changed, and he joined the ranks of Satan. And ever since that time, our God has been doing his best to win back the hearts of mankind through his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten Son into this world, that this world through him might be saved. Yes, God provided a way. But what was the response of the world? They crucified God's Son. They hung him on a cruel cross and sent him back to heaven where the angels of God were waiting after witnessing the most humiliating and horrifying scene ever watched by a human being. But beloved, remember this. It was God's plan and purpose for his precious Son. For with his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ broke the bonds of death, hell, and the grave, and set free the captive. He sounded the death knell for Satan and all his loyal followers. Now the question is before each one of us today, right now. Whose side are you on? Where is your loyalty? Who has your heart? Where is your treasure? Now remember, God said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It was Demas, the man who made a pretense with the Apostle Paul that the Lord's word was the greatest. And he insisted on traveling with Paul and sharing the blessings of serving the Lord. But when the going got tough, when persecution came, and he was asked to stand up and be counted for the Lord, the tragic response revealed that he was a professor, but not a possessor of Christ. He loved the world more than he loved the Lord. You see, there is no middle ground with the Lord. You and I are either for Him or against Him. A hearer, but not a doer, is nothing for the Lord. They're like clouds without rain. R.A. Torrey, a great man of God, once said, "The greatest field of evangelism is in the membership of churches." Now, does that surprise you? Do you wonder what brought on a statement such as that? I believe I know. You see, the devil has a garbage can, and many church members are eating out of it. It reminds me of the young lady that became quite indignant because her pastor was condemning some of her favorite pastimes, such as the movies and dancing. And the pastor, she said, "I don't see any harm in these things. Pastor, I think you're just a little narrow-minded." And the pastor replied, "Young lady, the next time you get hungry, come over to my house. There's some real good food in our garbage can." You see, oftentimes, the devil mixes some good things in with his filthy trash, but it's all saturated with evil. And instead of trying to pick through it for something that's not spoiled, it's best for us to stay away from the whole mess of garbage. You see, our God requires an undivided heart. But the trouble with many Christians today is that they love the Lord a little and the world a lot. I've often wondered if God's people treated their spouses the way they treat Him and gave them as little attention as they do God, what would happen? I'm sure the divorce rate would skyrocket. Listen, Christian friend, there are two voices in every man's soul: the voice of God and the voice of Satan. Your love for God will determine which voice that you and I listen to. And this spasmodic on and off Christianity makes our God sick at heart, because He knows the influence a Christian can have in this world. Yes, thousands of people have gone to heaven or hell on the basis of the testimony of some Christian's life. Folk, hear me now. This is important. Being a Christian is a 365-day-a-year job. And witnessing for Christ is the best kind of testimony you and I can have to express our love to Jesus Christ. And if you're proud of anything, certainly you want to tell others how proud you are of it. And I'm proud of my Lord. That's why I want to be a daily witness for Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart, these are not just words, I believe a soul winner for Christ can best be expressed as one who is a pilot light. Now, everyone knows that you don't cook anything with a pilot light. A pilot light is merely used to ignite a larger flame. It was Dr. Spurgeon, who was perhaps one of the greatest preachers of all time. But have you ever stopped to think? No one knows the name of the humble preacher who pointed a finger at Mr. Spurgeon and said, "Young man, right now, you need to look to Jesus and be saved." And Mr. Spurgeon did exactly that, and he was saved. You see, that insignificant preacher was just a pilot light. But look at the flame he kindled. Let me illustrate a little bit of what I say. One Sunday afternoon, a group of baseball players, having too much to drink, walked down the streets of Chicago. And as they did, they heard music coming from a small mission, and a little old lady came out and invited them to come in. They laughed at her. Except one. He listened. He came in. He was saved. Do you know who that man was? Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday. The whole world knows him or has heard of him. And God has used that man to win thousands to Jesus Christ. But I wonder, what is the name of that little old lady that came out and gave him the invitation to come in and be saved? Nobody knows. Only God. Yes, just a pilot light. But look at the flame she ignited. Christian, ask yourself, will there be any stars in your crown when you get to heaven? You remember Jim Thorpe? He was perhaps the greatest athlete ever to live. Years ago, in the Olympic Games, he was so outstanding that the King of Sweden awarded him that nation's most outstanding medal. But some years later, it was found out that in his later or earlier days, he had played ball for money, therefore was declared ineligible to receive any award given to him during those Olympic Games. Jim Thorpe had to sit down and write a letter to the King of Sweden expressing his regret that he must return the award. And surely, that must have broken Jim Thorpe's heart. But thank God, if we Christians strive lawfully for Christ, we will win a crown that can be never taken away from us. 2,000 years ago, the world rejected the Son of God. And for that act, that injustice, the world today is on trial, along with every individual. This world we live in today is but a huge courtroom. And Almighty God is judge and jury, and praise God, He knows the ones that are hearers, but not doers. Clouds without rain. Thank God, He is the judge, not me. Thank God, He knows what is on the inside, and I can only look on the outside. D.L. Moody once said, "I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than any other man I've ever met. How true that is of all of us. Yet, we want to pass the buck. It's always the splinter in our brother's eye that we want to point out while we fail to take note of the plank in our own eye. But remember what our Lord said in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us, that includes everybody here, every one of us, shall give an account of himself to God. The tragedy of Christendom today is that they're trying to fight a four-alarm fire with a water pistol. And while the world reeks with raging fires of hate and sin, too often we Christians stand back and fire live ammunition at brothers and sisters in Christ as the world itself goes to hell. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but if our gospel hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, where did anyone get the idea that the gospel has to be kept undercover? God said the gospel was the dynamite of God. So what you and I need to do is light the fuse, then sit back and watch the explosion. I believe that's exactly what the early Christians did when they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. I'm afraid this is a day of restricted and relegated Holy Ghost power. When the crying need is for Christians and the church to cry out together and as one, O God, pour out thy Spirit upon all flesh. And if our cultivated unbelief and spiritual powerlessness is causing us to eat out of the devil's garbage can, and we are grieving the Holy Spirit, then in mercy, God's mercy, he ought to spew us out of his mouth. We ought to get on our knees and cry out to God, Oh God, if you can't do something with me or through me, then please, oh God, do something without me. Bypass me and use people who mean business for you. I marvel at times at the patience of God to a prodigal church in a prodigal world. Is God's real problem today in our church or somebody's life? I tell you now, the day is coming. It will all come to an end. Every child of God, every Christian, one day will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and give to him an answer for their cold-heartedness and indifference in a world that needs them so badly. It wasn't easy for my Lord to live in this sin-cursed world, especially because it was a world that didn't want him. Jesus Christ was not crucified within the walls of some magnificent cathedral. He was crucified between two thieves on a garbage dump outside the city of Jerusalem, which was the crossroads of the world at that time. But that was all a part of the battle. In fact, that just marked the beginning. Friends, the real battle is yet to come. And I believe the showdown will be sooner than we expect. But, may I say quickly, it's not going to be much of a battle. God said He would smite the nations with the brightness of His coming. And when that happens, the battle of the ages will have ended forever. There is a question, therefore, that must be settled in every person's heart. Very simple. Whose side are you on? There is no neutral ground. None. Satan is the god of this world. His cohorts are a host of fallen spirits, a well-organized army divided into ranks and divisions. And they are the rulers of the darkness of this world. The warfare, the strategy, and the weapons of the believer is in their spirit. And it comes right out of God's Word. And every Christian is involved. This fight is not over who will rule the world during a lifespan. No. The stakes are eternal. And the territory is unlimited. And you may not think you are involved or a part of it. But if you are alive, you are involved. Your name is on the flight list, and the destination is eternity. The weapons of this warfare are not carnal. They are human. They are spiritual. The fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and wickedness of Satan and his hosts. And unseen in this natural realm we live in today is a hungry lion. Yes, a satanic spiritual lion controlled by Satan. And he waits patiently for any Christian to make a wrong move. And when he does, then he makes his move. Now, you may have good motives and want to really serve the Lord with all your heart. But that is not a sufficient safeguard against satanic deception. Any Christian who believes that because he is in Christ and therefore cannot be reached by Satan, that person is already deceived. If that is not so, then why did the Holy Spirit allow the word of the Apostle Paul to be a part of the word of God? Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Friend, Satan knows this generation, and he comes with an attack plan to completely wipe out and destroy us. His method is drugs, unbelief, and depravity. He wants this generation destroyed before it has a chance to live. That's how he has many Christians, even today, eating out of his garbage can. Ignorance of the Word of God provides the playground for Satan's master device, deception and delusion. But we have the Word of God, therefore ignorance of his devices are no excuse. It's what you don't know that could destroy you and I spiritually. So don't allow the cloud of pride to blind your mind to the godly principles of truth and obedience. Satan has played his cards well and has sent millions to a devil's hell. But there's one person who is and can be the salvation of the entire generation: the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not one single person in this auditorium who can say, "I found Jesus Christ." No, he first found you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So if you're here without Christ, remember the battle of the ages over your soul. It's going on right now. It's a part of your life. Why not surrender now, this morning, to Jesus Christ and join the army of the Lord? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this Word of God, that we belong to Jesus Christ and we are involved in the battle of the ages with no holds barred, with every man, woman, child. Who is on the Lord's side? Can he count on you to take your stand for him? Remember, your light affliction is but for a moment, but soon the shadows will be gone forever. And when that happens, God shall wipe away all tears until we be led to the fountain of living waters. And it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. I challenge each one of you this morning to come to this old-fashioned altar, either on your knees before God, and say, "Lord, here am I. Use me as you see fit." In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.